delivery, elevates the cross, Bain is there! Hawksby's got a hat-trick. It's a first-half hat-trick for the young woman from Wollongong.
Sarah's looking to hit, Grant's at the back post, and did he find it beautifully? And what a finish from Ryan Grant off the underside of the crossbar. It's a trademark goal for Sydney's veteran defender.
Sydney travelled to the west of Melbourne to face Western... Wait. Sydney travelled to the same ground that hosts a quarter of the A-League sides in the competition to play against last year's champions, looking for a win on the back of a promising performance in the Big Blue. Win we did after an unusual and slightly worrisome first half, despite leading at the break 2-1. Sydney would go on to add a third in the second half, running out 3-1 winners, with the starting front three all getting on the score sheet in positive signs for Steve Corica's men. Tonight on Sky Blue Stories, we talk about everything Western United and more. Julian and Sean, welcome back to the pod. It feels like it's been ages, but I think that's because we recorded on a Sunday before.
That is correct. Recorded on the Sunday.
So, yeah, it feels a little bit longer in the piece than what we would normally have, but... Yeah, no, it's good to be back.
I'm looking forward to the review of the United versus Bogus Town game.
Bogus Town FC, was it? Or
so
why?
Is that a meme? Is that a thing? I know I'm old. Like, is it Julian?
Nah, don't look at me. Don't look at me.
It's definitely not funny.
I don't know what's going on.
Just unprofessional. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, well. Good luck to all.
That's it. Boys, how have your weeks been? We all watched the game, obviously. I had a wonderful setup at the airport. Where was I flying to, Sean? Perth. Yes, Perth. Thank you. I'm sorry. I've been jet setting lately. So
yeah.
Say again.
I tracked you on my radar.
find my iPhone. Find my lover.
That aired luggage, or rectally.
Directionally, is that what you said?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So, you've been in Perth. You've been in Townsville.
I have Melbourne next week, unfortunately. It'd be nice to spend a few days in a good city. That's all good. But I had a good setup at the airport. Got delayed slightly, so I got to watch the whole game, which was good in the end. Boys, what did you guys do for the game?
Just sat at home and watched it by myself, pretty much. Oh, next to the wife, but she wasn't obviously watching that much. Not that invested.
No excuse.
Yeah, I agree.
She is giving birth to your child, so...
Well, my daughter was watching through the womb.
Good girl.
Yeah, exactly. Good girl. Learning
everything. One out of two, that's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Team Julian, team dad. Sean, it's overall a pretty good performance. We'll talk about that. There's a bit in the around the grounds this week, I think. So some new signings. Why don't you take us through the Sky Blue week that was?
Grounds.
I'll never grow old of hearing that. Let's smash it out. Congrats to Adrian S. For making the Aussies under 2010 Cup. Got a goal as well the other day. I think it was against India, and a good win. And just recently they beat Iraq 1-0. So he'll come back, I think, now. Jules, 20.
Yes.
Back on a play. Will he be there in time for this weekend's game? I imagine so, against Adelaide. But look, I know he hasn't been with the boys, but hey, he's still been getting minutes and training and whatnot. So fitness-wise, he'll be absolutely fantastic. Other than that, look, we've got a triple indulgence when it comes to A-League's women. Liberty, Sydney FC player.
Liberty Bell.
We've got a Kiwi fullback, Anna Green. I think she just purely signed because of the initials, or you know, just locker room and stuff with a former agent.
I just reuse the jersey.
Yes,
done.
Absolutely. I reckon she tricked. I reckon she tricked them. I reckon she tricked the club.
Yes, I am. Darling, called me.
A Green returning. Yeah, I am Mr. Snrub.
Yankee Doodle Dandy and Madison Haley, all the way from Chicago, and good old striker, good old head back. Shea Evans returns. Jonathan, you're ecstatic about that.
Very excited. Fantastic to see. Fantastic to see. She went for a bit of a sojourn to Adelaide. As we've said before, I think a little bit closer to home for Shea, and she's back. She's actually, to my understanding, she's actually just been flown by Adidas over to Milan to take part in a fashion shoot. But you know, whatever. I don't know why she wouldn't prefer to be training with the girls, but you know.
That's so good.
That completes the team. We figured that there'd be a couple of international spots filled. Will those three start? I don't think Madison's pretty much the Rojas kind of plate replacement, somebody impact off the bench if we're needing it, last 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. How could
the you? Mad Dog?
Okay, is that the name you're going for? But how?
No, that's her handle on Instagram. Oh, Mad Dog.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Must be an Adam Adu. But how can she, in all due respects to her, replace Prinny, Courtney, and Remy in that front three?
I don't know, but it's a long way to come to start from the bench, Sean. Don't you think?
Well, Raha's a long way to come, maybe even further.
She was already there. I'm not going to claim to be an expert on Madison's career at all, but coming from Chicago Red Stars, a very big NWSL club, she's like I said, I'm not sure what's motivated her to come out. I'm sure we'll learn over time her story, but I think she's fighting for a starting spot. Absolutely. 100%.
I think you're probably more likely to see Anna Green start. So you might have like a Anna Green, Charlotte, Nat, and your mate, Jules. Kirsty Fenton there, pairing with Nat in the back, and that might push Charlotte out wider again. And then we might see the likes of Charlie Rule. Apparently she's forward. To me, but playing higher up in the pitch, but time will tell.
Well, the one thing we are is stacked. Like, got a very deep, very good A-League women's side this year. A side that's probably capable of going, you know, a three-peat, unprecedented three-peat on premierships. So just want to get to that last day as well. I'm sure the girls are, you know, they've got one game at a time in their mouth, but certainly in the back of their head, they're thinking, I think grand final day, they want to amend those two defeats. And I reckon they'll do it, especially with those recruits that they've brought in. Everybody adds value.
Yeah. And it's, they've got to have a point of difference, right? Because despite our wonderful record the last few years, you know, just that one grand final win is, it's going to be weighing heavy on the minds of them all, and you know, a little bit to supporters. I mean, they've been, like I said, achievement wise, they've been absolutely brilliant. But for Ante and the girls, like, they needed to have a few different signings, maybe, and mix it up a bit and see what we can do to try and change things on that last day. And as you just said, boys, I think based on the squad that we've retained and then added to, I don't see how we're not going to be in the mix for that last day of the season again.
Well, the girls are back training. They kicked off this week, November, I want to say 14th. That comes to mind. I could be wrong. It's a Monday, Sean. Maybe it's the 12th or 13th, but they're about a good month away from their first game of the season, which is not much of a lead-in. Really, when you think
of them. And to think that most of these girls have come from, a good chunk of them have come from NPL season. So I think mentally, and forget the physical side. Physical side's one thing, but the mentally, to come back and basically go into a preseason again and then have to start a season again in such a short turnaround is just, it's crazy. Mm. I mean, it won't be an issue in, say, a year and a half, 2 years' time when, you know, the league gets the 12-team comp and 22 rounds and that's the cutoff. There can't be any, from what I hear, the rumours are that there'll be no A-League women's players involved in NPL. So that's the way it should be, yeah, to be honest, if we want to grow it.
Yeah. And speaking,
just another thing on Madison. So she's come from Stanford University, boys, which is where former Sky Blue Amy Sayer is and would have been playing. So I wonder if Amy had a little say in us getting Madison's signature over the line. And the wording in the release was very interesting as well. The basically saying that, you know, the squad's not quite done yet. They're almost done. We think it's going to be Remy Simpson. We hope it's going to be Remy Simpson, but we'll see how that plays out.
Maybe trees applies. There's still hope.
Maybe.
Something else I saw, that a couple of Sydney FC youth players are apparently trialing for French club Lyon. Quintal is an attacking midfielder, very skillful, very technical. And I don't know if this is a distant relative of yours, Jules. How do you say your last name?
How do I spell my last name?
How do you say his last name?
Hofslot.
Yeah, I reckon that's pretty close, Jules.
Nine.
Gus is very, very well thought of. I actually saw him play a couple of times when the 20s were on before the NPL boys, and he's 15 or 16 years old playing under 20s, and it didn't look out of place at all. Just a little quick shout out. Speaking of trials, Sean, someone that you've come across before, very big Sydney FC fan, that's why I'll sneak this in, Leo Hammond. Is nice. On trial at Everton currently. So he's a goalkeeper, plays at RPR across the 15s, 16s, and 18s at times in the last NPL season. And he's actually on trial with Everton for 2 weeks, trialing with the 16s and 18s. So all the best to Leo, and hopefully he impresses. And if not, it's a brilliant experience for him. Getting that experience over there too. So a little shout out to a really big Sydney FC fan.
Little Leo, well, he's not so little anymore, but we've known him since he was a kid, and he still is, but he wasn't even a goalkeeper.
It wasn't. Well, that's his point of difference, right? He impresses with his distribution, but he's 6 foot now, Sean. He's taller than you. He's got a little bit of growth to go, I think, if he wants to be a top-line keeper, but... as his old man keeps saying, but good on him. It's great to see people like Thiago, Gus, and August, and you know, players like Leo getting some trials in some big clubs overseas.
That's it. Another little thing that came across my eye was nice work from the club and Adam and the membership team, both Shanes, I'm assuming. Look, people were quite disgruntled about some of the seating arrangements, or in terms of the exposure to the elements, because it was almost apocalyptic kind of rainy weather the other Saturday of our first game. We were told that every single seat would be undercover, I guess, unless, you know, the rain is coming in sideways, which is always a possibility. But, you know, when you pay your monies and you want to get seating undercover and this doesn't have a roof or one that detracts and whatnot back and forth, great job from Adam and the club saying that, you know, if it is pouring with rain, you can move. You can move up, further up the seating area that where you are. But they've also been the opportunity to be able to move your membership into another part of the stadium, which guarantees, like, it should have guaranteed it in the first place, but guarantees shelter from the elements. So something that wasn't picked up when the stadium was initially opened with the Chooks and Rabbitohs and all that rugby league stuff, because it was quite lovely, beautiful weather. But something that's unfortunately been a consequence of our season starting and the weather that took place on that night. So nicely done by the club. It's not easy, but just being able to really kind of listen to their members and trying to make the most of the pretty ordinary situation, you know. When the world gives you lemons, Jono and Jules, Adam Sandler.
So you cut the lemon with Bale.
Tequila all round. You're right, Sean. The sentiment's been quite negative. And especially as we said last week on the pod, mostly the members that do pay the higher end for the better seats. And that's, let's be honest, that's the reason people pay more, is so they're protected from the elements and so they've got nice seats towards halfway, wherever they want to be. So that's the only thing I think that's not being released in any of the statements. It's, you know, if you're moving from a Platinum Plus membership, say to level 4 or whatever it is, you know, financially, what does that mean? You know, do people get a slight refund or what it is? But hopefully people can find something. The weather for this weekend's game is looking pretty similar to the Big Blue. So
yeah, I don't think it will be as bad. Let's have a look.
A-League season's here. The rain's here.
Yeah. Well, actually, I can't say bomb anymore. They don't like that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Bureau of Meteorology. Well done, guys. Can't say bomb anymore. Anyway, the next little bit, one of our
fun
pieces of around the grounds is we have seen our third kit.
Oh, my God. That's right.
I'm looking at it right now, not in picture form, photographic ways. I won't say where it is and how I came about or how we came about it, but it is there for people to see if they happen to come across it. That's all I'll say. It is black. It does have orange amongst it. It does have a tiled geometric pattern, for the use of a word.
Mm.
For me, it's not quite the same geometric patterning as our home and away kit. It kind of reminds me more of our first couple of seasons with Under Armour, with that kind of tiling. Before I let loose and get too negative, what are your thoughts, fellas, please?
Jules, go to the,
yeah, the,
go kit, to the kit nerd, please.
It's hard to say because it's picture, but I initially, like off the picture, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I like a black kit. So I will say there's particularly on the badge, and it could be just the picture again. Yeah, almost it's like a gradient, like sort of orangey, and it fades kind of into a yellow. It's a weird one, like on the collar and the piping. But on the badge, that's looking pretty red. I'm not too fussed on that, to be fair, considering black and red. Kinda not, shouldn't be anywhere near.
Yeah, if you look at the line of the A-League logo, not the dot, but that right hand, you can see at the top of it, it starts off quite a light orange and then into a dark orange. Will you be spending your
money? Oh, look, I think we need to remember we're an audio medium and people are probably having absolutely no idea what we're trying to describe here. But basically, guys, it's a black shirt with orange collar and tips on the sleeve. That's what it is.
If you didn't know
so
much, though, guys, you'd think it was Brisbane Roar.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. It'd be a nice Brisbane Roar away kit, that's for sure.
It's very Rory, not Nosworthy. Sean,
do you like Brisbane Roar? Would you be spending your monies?
I don't know. I think the away kit's still my preferred from this season's releases.
Yeah, 100%.
I will be getting all three.
Oh yeah, it's no Midnight Plum in my opinion.
No. That's okay. 100%.
Yeah,
it's a downgrade from what last year was, in my opinion. Okay.
Still, I think a lot of people will like it, Sean.
Yeah,
I hate it. I'm so fucking disappointed.
Wow.
I hate it.
Wow.
I'm really hoping. I was like, I'm ready to spend $100 on this thing. Keen for it to come out. I wish it had come out before the season. You know, so I got rocked up last week with it. But my Midnight Plum will certainly be getting all the runs on the board this coming season.
Too much orange, Sean? Too much orange?
I don't like the gradient thing. I don't like the geometric pattern. I don't like how it the pattern doesn't go all the way across the sleeves. It's like our home kit where it stops, you know, from the armpit up to the neck. No, I don't.
I don't like geometric patterns on black kit.
I hate it. It sucks.
It's like, I think it's a quite a nice kit. It's not to, it won't be to everyone's liking, but I think a lot of people will really like it. But it's a bit Brisbane Raw for me, but that's all right. That's all right.
Well, let me ask you this, especially you, Jules. Of the three, well, I know there's been four since, but of the three sets of kits that Under Armour have done for us,
yeah,
which is the best three?
The best three. So, like, the best set. So, season one set, season two set, season three set.
Well, season one and two with them was the same.
Yeah, sorry. Season three, season one and two, season three, season four.
Correct.
Season three. Or on, like, a whole package.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, Midnight Plum just takes it over the edge.
I think last year's triple kit.
Yeah.
Three kits.
Yeah.
Was the best, has been the best. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. 100% agree.
It's a for us. So I'm very disappointed.
In saying that, I think our first home kit with Under Armour was the best home kit.
Ooh, the home kit.
Last year, a bit plain, but I still liked it. Yeah.
It was nice. It was understated, just had the patterns on the sleeves. I liked like a little bit of navy piping across the,
So chest horizontally across it, yeah.
Yeah, chest horizontally. I liked that neck collar was a bit different. Anyways, if you want to listen to us break down those.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Anyway, I won't go on too much, but I'm really disappointed. Jules loves it and Jonathan's okay with it.
You're so negative, Sean. You need some happiness in your life, Sean.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping for a, like, shut up, take my money kind of moment. That's what I was hoping for.
Mm. Yeah. No Midnight Plum.
Yeah. No.
Someone talked it up to us, Sean. This is the problem.
They raised my expectations. And they got even more after that. And now I've been very much let down. So what's the lesson here? Low expectations always.
Never try.
Yeah.
Never try. You tried and you failed.
I've seen jerseys suck before, but this, no. Look, all right, Jules, take us through fantasy, Sydney, Sky Blue Stories, fantasy from the second round. Who's winning? Who's the winners? Who's the losers? Who sucks? Who doesn't?
Well, there was some pretty big scores across the board from a couple of people. Actually. A big shout out to Arrow Sports Adrian, who got 126 points in that round alone, which his overall rank for that round two was 58. So unbelievable result there, cracking the top 100. Really, really good. But at the top of the pops remains Lollipops. Two wins, another big win. He didn't do too badly with points either, Nicholas. So he got 113, which was still top 300, pretty decent. A little bit of a shout out, or should I say throwing him under the bus a little bit. Adrian, Oz Kit Nerd, pick up your game.
Oh, mate.
Two losses in a row, I should say. Bottom of the pile, relegation.
We even had a draw, Jules.
I know. Yeah, we had a draw between Joel King FC and Euro Snob FC. Brilliant.
How good.
Two great names there. But yeah, so the top six who will qualify, and it's early days yet. The top six that are qualifiers currently, Lollipops. Right, first, Amazing Sim, Sim Dion. What a massive schlong. Who Wouldn't Want Pat? Love that.
Very true.
At third, Parsons the Parcel.
Ah, beat me this week.
One Love at fifth and Mac and Cheese at sixth. Ooh. And me just creeping along there at seventh. Little shout out for myself. But yeah, it's going really well. The total points is, even the total points for Adrian is huge. He's in the top 100 for total points, it seems, for the whole thing. So brilliant. Absolutely killing it.
Can't keep that up. He's got one of the lowest against as well. So he's at easy opposition, Jules. So it's all right. It's a massive 10th v 11th this week. Yes. for Voodoo People Kissel taking on Bonoza. Coming for you, Adrian. Coming for you.
Yeah, there's a few good matchups in there. Yeah, obviously we'll see if you can knock him off and start to get somebody else up the pile. But Lollipops is, so first is playing fifth, which will be a really good game. Lollipops versus One Love. So there'll be some very interesting updates come next week.
How good. Thank you, Jules. Is there something else in Around the Grounds there, Sean, that you wanted to share with us?
No, we can play this.
Oh.
Grounds. That's it. Done and dusted.
How good. Let's talk some football on the field. That is Western United versus Sydney FC Sunday afternoon. Lovely, lovely time slot, boys. Not a huge crowd turning up. I think it was about 3,000, 3,500 possibly, something like that. Had a bit of a poke at them in the intro about the, I don't even know what word to use anymore about their stadium situation, but I suppose it's all well and good when you've got a brand new government paid for stadium to play in. But we took them on, last year's champions, who they really looked out of sorts in the first round, and probably didn't look much better, I thought, against us. I think the scoreline maybe flattered us in the end, but you know, two very well taken goals, and we also had two penalties, one of which Alfie converted, obviously. But boys, before we get into the play-by-play, what did you make of it? I was confused at halftime. I didn't know why. I could see why we were ahead, because Western were pretty bad, but we weren't that good. No. But we could have been up 3-1 though at halftime. I was confused. What did you guys make of it?
I think we were terrible for the first bit of the first half, first 20-30 minutes. I thought, fucking hell, this could be bad. This could, you know, the little bit of glimmer of hope that we saw in the victory game in terms of how we were playing, just somehow got lost for the first 25-30 minutes. But you know, to be fair, that was recognized post game as well. That we got out of the gates really slow, really sluggish. But we sort of worked our way a little bit more in the game. And like you said, John, like I feel like they were always there for the taking. They weren't good. I don't think it was a case even overall of us being great on the day. I think it was just a case of being, you know, better. That's it.
Yeah, for sure. Sean?
I'm going to sound strangely optimistic in this.
No. You feeling all right?
What have you done with Sean? Look, we didn't play particularly, obviously our second half was better than our first. We didn't play particularly very good first half. But overall, the fact that we won, we scored a few goals, we beat a team, last year's champions, mind you, like, although their form is pretty fucking ordinary at the moment, the fact that we beat last year's champions, I'll take 3 points.
Away from home.
Home, new team, new faces, new system.
Look, no first or second choice centre halves.
So at the moment, we played well last set round, played a bit better this round, albeit very scrappy and patchy with a better second half, but we're collecting 3 points. So the fact that we can do that not at our best at the start of the season, I'm quite content with. if we're playing like this in the last couple of rounds of the season, you know, trying to make semis or, you know, on the road to finals and stuff like that, there'd be cause for concern. So at this point in time, I'm quite content and satisfied.
I think we said we would probably see a bit of a continued slow start with the new players, new formation, new tactics. So, yeah, I'm sort of okay with it. I mean, 3 points away from home is great. And yeah, as I've heard a few people in the media say, you know, it's good for Bimby as well, just to get get that first win off. And again, like let's not understate that. They didn't have a couple of their weapons in Prijevic and Diamanti, and you know, we didn't have our centre halves, so that's why it sort of evened out a bit. I thought Bratz and Gerd in particular really struggled in that first half, in that first 20 minutes, half an hour, just loose passes or not enough. Power on the passes. They were dropping short and turning the ball over in our defensive third, and that was the most worrisome thing, boys. But as you said, Sean, I think we did turn it around. The second half was much better.
Absolutely, and look, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So, and the fact that we conceded quite rightly, I felt. I think we kind of deserved to go, even though it was unlucky. If we go through the match summary and some of the big events, sections of the match, but let's do that now.
Let's do that.
I'll skip the lineup because I'll get to that later. But Alfie, we started to see a little bit more from him this game. He was like you said last week, he was almost a ghost, but starting to look a little bit better. We'll get to his miss pen, but he hits the woodwork in the 9th minute. A nice header that he glances and Young pushes over the crossbar. So that was some nice early signs from Alf.
Good build-up play. I thought the commentator was a bit rough saying he thinks he should have done better. I'm like, well, from that angle that he worked on, I thought he actually did pretty well.
Yeah. Glancing header, saw it late.
Same.
Testing the keeper, and that's what you want, especially at the start of the game. And then Josh Ridston gets a goal. Bit unlucky. Do you reckon Redders should have done better with that, or would you be going off at your goalkeeper, Quakers Hill, Jules, for that, or who would you really blame?
No, I'd probably blame the defender for not shutting him down quickly enough.
Agree.
And I think as well, he's got about 3 or 4 bodies in front of him, completely unsighted, and then, you know, even if it's slightly going the other way, like it's you're fighting it's an uphill battle to get around there in time. So now, I don't think Redmayne could have really done anything more than what he did.
Agree.
Yeah, selection, funny bounce. Always blame the funny bounce. Alfie's first pen that he takes in the 24th minute, boys.
So how did that? Which one was this pen? Was this the Lacroix?
Lacroix, where he brought him down after Redder's like superb ball.
Yep.
In transition, it
was
inspired Alison Becker only days later, or the next, I think, less than 4 hours later. What did you make of the pen?
Just spoke to everything that I think a lot of people have been on Alfie's back about. No confidence.
It almost
just the player not in form.
Confusion. Should he go left, right? And he thought maybe I'll just go down the middle.
Indecisive, because you know, like even you can tell from the power that was in that penalty, he leathers it. That's his penalty taking style. Yeah, he leathers it, and that wasn't even a quarter of his power.
Passed it.
So he's. I think he second guessed himself in terms of, oh, I'm going to go down the middle. Oh, no, maybe I'll go slightly right. Ended up being perfect direction for the keeper, basically exactly where he was going. So, yeah, pretty shit.
But he redeems himself about 15-odd minutes later, sending Jamie wrong the wrong way with his trademark characteristic.
Absolutely. Much better.
Brilliant. This is the one that I wanted to talk about. And just speaks volumes of our new Brit, Joe Lolly, winning that pen. What a piece of footwork from him. Almost trademark already, two games in, that cut in from the right. And again, what the three of us spoke about last week on the pod around, you know, having two pretty large and fairly immobile center halves in Topor Stanley and Lacroix, and the not just Lolly, you know, that we saw, but those direct runs getting in behind Topor Stanley, you know, couldn't deal with it, and Lolly won that penalty really well.
Thing with Lolly, you know, he's gonna, like, even now two rounds in, you know, he wants to get it onto his left and take on the defender. But I reckon as the season will go on, I don't want to jinx the poor fella, but you know, as a defender, you know he's going to do it, but you'd be hard pressed to be able to stop it.
Yeah, but
out of 10.
But stop him, right? Like that's the challenge, and that's what the best players in the world do. I'm not saying Lolly's one of the best players in the world, but you know, that's what attackers, that's what fans love to see, those players that back themselves and take them on, and it's what we want people to do all the time. Mate, if he's got enough quality, which he's clearly shown in the last, in the first two games, then, you know, good luck to people trying to stop him.
And even if they do know that he's going to cut inside, he's going to be just as dangerous if he goes, okay, well, you've covered my inside. I'll go down the line. I'll cut it on the byline.
Cross, yep.
Cut it across. Beautiful. Tap in for Alfie. Yep. Done. It's perfect. They're so direct, both of them. I'm loving what we're seeing from the 7-Eleven. I think we've recruited.
Yeah.
I will say the recruitment's been exceptional in that regard. Just early days, I know. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But
out of 10 when we gave it a ranking out the recruitment. What are you talking about?
Mm. Yeah. Title of the pod was just said, Sean. 7-Eleven's got it.
Mm. Well, speaking of having us at Marquee and International, you blinked and 2 minutes later. He does exactly that and gets on the score sheet, back-to-back goals, Mac cutting inside on his left, and just instinctively curls it just outside the box to the bottom right, or Jamie Young's left.
Perfect just, finish.
Just, yeah, perfect class.
Mm.
Knew what he was
half an inch is all he needs, which is more than what a few of us can say on the spot. I got to get the sexual reference in there. Sky Blue sexual reference. It has to happen. But yeah, that's true. Like both of them, just all they need is that little bit of a jink inside. And the best thing is that they're not hesitating. We've had wingers in the past, even when we've played, you know, different formations, 4-2-3, whatever formation we've played, people that have played out wide, they'll do that exact movement. They'll go inside, but then they'll take a second touch and a third and a fourth, and the chance is gone. Whereas these guys, boom, 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 direct, that little touch inside, little inch of space, boom, pull the trigger.
Yeah, they'll take too many touches, or the moment will go, they'll hesitate, and then they'll play it back to their left or right back who's lurking somewhere behind them. You know, and that's what we saw. He's moved on to Wellington. Good luck to him. But that's what we saw from Costa over the last couple of seasons is that hesitation. We didn't get the Costa that came from Brisbane and particularly Victory in terms of just taking on defenders and, you know, attacking that 18-yard box. But looks like with these two fellas, and you can add, you know, Seager Dreamcast in there as well. He's no different. A very similar model that I think that's where a lot of our goals will come this season. But we went into half 2-1, scrappy, very much scrappy, but we'll take it. Fast forward all the way to my favourite time, 69th minute, in what Lolly produced. In
all your favourite time.
Mm. And he's like, Mac, you know, anything you can do, I can do better. Better than you. And he just, I don't know, jinx, gets it onto his left, sees a slither of the goal, sees a little bit of space, that inch, that lovely inch. And just strokes it, curls it into...
Strokes the inch. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Gorgeous. It looked like he was going to do it before we saw it take flight.
Yeah. You knew it was coming and you couldn't stop it.
Someone commented to me a bit Robben-esque, Jules.
Yeah, I can see that. He does move a little bit like Robben, the way he takes on a player.
Elusive speed, I think.
Yeah. Elusive. I like that.
A lot better looking.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm thinking,
yeah.
Ugly. I'm thinking of Ribery.
You're thinking of Ribery, but, I mean, neither are really pictures, are they?
Rob Ben's wife's a good-looking lady.
Just saying. All of them are. Any Bowman player, seriously.
Just saying. Anything else about this game, boys? You know, with our subs, just to take mention, I was in greens, which is rare for me, with Corica to bring on Retre. We got up to 3-1, and then he made the Retre sub, and I'm like, yeah, that's fair enough. We're up by two. With I think, when did Retre come on? 79th minute. So yeah, last 10 or so minutes. All right, another kind of defensive mid just to hold the fort, see out the game. I thought that was a fairly good move. Mac came off Parsons. So Max for Mac. I don't know if that was on purpose, but anyway. Parsons for Alfie, which I thought was a strange sub.
Yeah.
I tend to think he'd but
yeah, I would have preferred to see JK or Woody get a little, Woody get the time that did he come on for Wood?
Lolly
at the end, yeah, Lolly, that's it. So yeah, I would have preferred to see Woody get the majority of the time coming off the bench rather than Parsons, but splitting hairs. I mean, I'm just happy that subs are being made at sensible times. So take a win where we can get one.
Maybe we're asking for too much.
Probably.
They're coming earlier. Now we've just got to get the right people.
Come on. We'll get there eventually. We'll be all right.
Any final thoughts, boys, before we start doing our SFCU votes?
I think I predicted the right score. I think I got 3-1 right. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I did. Sean and I say 2-1?
Yeah. I did 3-1, so I'm only off one goal the whole year. I said that's 3-3 all the first game.
That's true. Although, to be fair, Sean's only one goal off too because he had 2-2.
Yeah, true. That's true.
2-2 in the first game. It's just me that sucks, so no one listened to my tips. but that's all right. Final thoughts. Look, I think you're right. I think we'll... If we can get either Wilco or and this is no disrespect to Donks, actually Donks is actually in my SFCU votes to Donicky and Gerd, but yeah, it just goes to show if we had the experience of a Wilkinson or a Rodwell, who, let's be honest, are our first and second choice, things are looking pretty good.
All right, let's check some votes, boys. Jonathan.
I'll continue the role. So 3 to Lolle, 3 to Joe. I think he started the season exceptionally well. Won the pen, beautiful finish for the third. Robbie Mack, again, the Mack attack. I'm giving 2 because I just think he's a different class. And yeah, 1 to Donicky for, I guess, being that experienced head in that back line. And he and Redders, I'm sure, helping Gerd through his A-League starting debut.
Well, I'm giving Mac, Lolly and Gerd 2 each.
Nice. Love Gerd 2.
No, that's good. I am giving 3 to Lolly, 2 to Mac, and 1 to Redders. I thought not so much that he was called into a lot of action, but I think his distribution particularly was fantastic. Not just that near assist that he got via the pen, which Alfie obviously bottled, but but even just the quickness in his distribution, he recognised moments where they committed a lot of men forward and started the move very quickly from his hands, even if it was just rolling it out to the right or left back. It actually gave us the platform to go quickly and catch them in transition and made us look really dangerous. So I thought it was great.
Nice. It's very nice. Puts a nice little bow on that game. Let's look ahead. Vince, we've got a home game again Sunday. Jules, your first chance to get to the stadium.
Yes.
How good? Sunday, October 23rd, Not at Amy Park, as Sean has tried to trip me up on the run sheet. It's at Allianz Stadium. Oh, 3 p.m. kickoff. Adelaide have started the season not very well. I think they get a draw in the first round and a loss last week. So they haven't started very well. Again, a bit like us, they're a bit unsettled with their lineup and their squads. They've got a couple of little injuries annoying Carl Viet. What do we think in terms of a lineup? Stevie's Bimby's come out and basically said he doesn't expect Wilkes or Donaghy to be back. Mm. I think, Sean, you touched on it earlier. We'll probably see Segacic back, which might mean a slight shuffling of the bench. But apart from that, boys, I don't think we'll see any changes.
No. Starting 11. No. Like you had Girdwood Reich on the bench. Adrian will come back. And I think you'll see the likes of Kaczarski and Wood.
Yep.
On the bench.
Back on the bench.
Parsons, Rattray, Tommy. There's probably a name I'm missing there. But it was interesting, like with the bench on the weekend, just with the circumstances of our two starting centre-backs injured. We didn't have like a – and this is something that might happen in the January transfer window, is that a fifth centre-back just for a little bit of insurance.
Did notice that.
Yeah. Let's say hypothetically on the weekend, if Donks went down.
Yeah, he just do what he did the week before.
Yeah, that's what he would do.
And I'd understand. Yeah, bus. Would have hopped
Ryan
in.
Ryan Grant.
Retro at the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Grant to centre-half, Retro to right back. That would have been the move. And then he had Girdwood Reich to go into the midfield instead of Paolo.
Yeah.
I think that would have been the move for sure.
Yeah, maybe.
And we'll likely be again this weekend. But for fantasy reasons, Sydney FC, can you please tell us when Jack Rodwell will be back? Thank you.
Yeah, I sold him already. So I have to get rid.
But of their lads, look, it'll be interesting. Van der Sar, he got a start for them on the weekend. But
did he?
Yeah, he did.
Where's he playing? Is he playing on the right?
He's playing right wing, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck to you.
I didn't see
about
him on Twitter and the like about his performance.
There were some
full comments.
Oh yeah, did he do well? Did he?
No.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. Sorry, I wasn't sure.
On his first touch and crossing. So boys, our lineup won't change. Just got to worry about that certain Craig Goodwin. How do we keep the game going?
Jeez. Again, I'm going to be boring and sort of base it on, you know, what we've seen so far from both sides. If the teams continue their trajectories and form, I think we should win this. But Adelaide always a bit of a banana skin. For us, we saw what they did to us at Cogra last year when, you know, we pretty much had the game and the finals positions, you know, at our doorstep. And Craig Goodwin, as you said, decided he'd, you know, become a miracle man, as he often does. So
he just signed for Sydney. Like,
what? Yeah, I know. Seriously. <All right>. That would be nice. That would be nice. So I think Goodwin's going to be a drama. They've got that young Moussa Touré who's come on. They've got Iran Kunda who's back with the squad as well after helping the Joeys qualify for the under-17s Asian Cup, I think it was. So again, they've got a lot of young talent. In regards to their midfield and their centre halves, they've got a little bit of an inexperience in that centre half pairing, although quite impressive youngsters. Popovich, and I think Benny Wallen got a start for them actually last weekend, his first start for Adelaide last weekend. So there'll be opportunities to score, I think, for sure. And I see us winning this one, boys. I don't know. I'm not actually overly worried.
Yeah. No, I agree. I actually can't. Probably sound like a duff.
I'm the same.
next week we're all hanging our heads in shame potentially. But no, I can't see it. I can't see us dropping points, let alone not. I just can't see the way they're playing, the way we're playing.
Home crowd, hopefully another 15,000 or so.
That would be lovely on a Sunday at 3 p.m. It's a good, you know what? It's a good time. 3 p.m. is a good kickoff time for Sunday.
Yeah.
It's not too late. That's actually really good.
Yeah, so, anyway, later, trying to get home from the city, work the next day. Five would be all right. 7 would be a punish on a Sunday night. So I'm quite content with the 3
p.m. That's good. As long as you're happy, Sean, that's all that matters. But, you know, yeah, look, Sean, I'll let you talk in a second, but like Adelaide needed a 93rd minute winner against a 10-man Wellington to get a point in round one. And then, you know, as we saw last week, they got done again. So I don't often go into Adelaide games confident, but I'm pretty confident this one, Sean.
So they're going to do us 4-0.
Yeah, basically. Craig Goodwin hat trick.
I reckon on the back of Jules from last week, I'm going to say 3-1. I still think just with the nature of our back line, getting used to each other, et cetera, two new centre backs. I still think we could concede a goal. So I'm going to say 3-1.
Okay. Craig Goodwin starts, we'll concede. So yeah, I'm with you, Sean. I'll say 3-1.
Yeah, across the board, I think 3-1 is going to be the scoreline. I don't think we're usually on the same page with scores. There's something in that. I'm going to put Sportsbet sponsor the podcast, Sportsbet. I'll be popping on a correct score in that market.
Not with the A-League's official betting sponsor, Jules.
Oh, who's that again?
Neds.
You know, they're all right. But, you know, what have they done for me lately?
That's true. That's true. Yeah,
It's a race to sign us, basically.
Maybe they could be our new front of shirt sponsor.
Yeah, we need a new gambling
energy. Or Reinhardt to sponsor us, because, you know, topical at the moment. Anyway, 3-1 all around, all the boys. Awesome. 3-1. All right, boys, it's that time of the week. Let me kick it off. We'll start off with good this week. Whose is this one?
Yeah, good. I can be your hero, baby. I
can kiss away. We just listen to the whole song for the rest of the time. I was getting into it there. Let's continue the gambling theme. Jens, that's a very good segue, Julian. Thank you very much. My hero of the week for the second week in a row is Robbie Mack for winning me some cash. A gambling company, I won't say which one, was offering ridiculous odds of $3.38 for a goal involvement from Robbie Mack. $3.38 for either an assist or a goal, and he delivered. So thank you very much, Robbie Mack. We're a bit on the gambloring this week, but
I call him Gambler.
That's he's my hero of the week.
How good. My hero of the week is Mr. Ozkit nerd himself, Adrian. He did me a massive, massive solid. Him and his lovely partner, Lydia, did me a massive solid by sourcing me a goalkeeper's kit from the Under Armour factory during the week. JD found the absolute gold mine.
And you're wearing it tonight on the pod, Jules.
I wish. No, I got a tee up meeting up with him and give him the cash and obviously a little bit of I think a couple of beers are in order.
I think so.
Absolute champion.
Bone and Woods. $13.50.
Stone Award, $13.50
each. First, you invite him on the pod, you know, connections. We're all about community here on Sky Blue Stories. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Adrian, be careful, mate. You'll become a bloody host of this thing, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
All right, my hero of the week. Well, I had to, just in case either one of you fuckers took it. But
what are you talking about?
I didn't mention him too much in our Western United preview.
Steve Corica.
Well, geez, you're foreshadowing the villain already. Now, but I digress. Gerd
is the word.
Eight-week debut and a very solid. At that, okay. Back off, Jonathan.
I don't know if I first you give him 2 points, now you're giving him hero of the week. I don't know. It's your hero of the week, Sean.
I'm going to edit you out of this. he's a young fella making his debut against last year's champions, Bogus Town FC. in a very unfamiliar centre-back pairing, I doubt in pre-season, Rally Cup and those behind closed doors games up at Macquarie and whatnot, that Corica would have gone, all right, Donks and Gerd, go start or play the start of this second or third, you know, kind of half as they do playing, you know, three lots of 45. Maybe, but if that, it would have barely gotten a look in. So I'm very proud of him. I'm all about the youth and well done, Gerd. And I did have an honourable mention to Ante because I just love his the insight that our series at the moment, Paramount Plus.
Sky Blue. Inside Sky Blue, is that what it
is? Oh, I want to be inside Ante because just in terms of how well he speaks.
Inside his dressing room.
Yes.
That cut out.
Yes.
That was very important. It cut out when you said that.
Just in terms of just how well he speaks and just how inspirational it is and just the instructions that he gives. He's just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. If he ever was running a C license or B license or something like that, I'd be there with bells on.
Right. You are a qualified coach, as is Jules, which means that your opinions hold weight.
A little bit. Scary.
A little bit. I've got to add this to my Spotify playlist, Jules.
Yeah.
Good. Some pizzas back, don't I? Remember those days?
Okay, so my villain of the week's just for reference, if you want to look at the image that I'm going to talk about,
ooh,
it's on A-League memes,
Twitter.
But to the guy, whoever took a photo of Ryan Grant and his missus watching Kent Brockman.
How good was Kent?
Yeah, what a guy. He's a
fucking legend.
Should be. Seriously. But in saying that, weird photo to take,
wasn't it?
Caught, you know, Rhino's missus as well. Probably a little bit, I don't know, it's just a bit creepy. I don't know, it's I wouldn't call him a villain, I just say just maybe think twice about doing
it. In a way, I completely agree with you, but isn't it? It doesn't a little bit of you sort of go, hey, we've got A-League players getting recognised.
There's a bit of that as well.
In the public, right? That's, which if they're in Europe and everything else, you know, those football mad places, that's going to happen all the time. So a part of me sort of went, that's kind of nice in a way. But
I see the...
Like, but
I
it was, that. you're 100% right. It was very unsettling.
Yeah.
Like, just because he's a celebrity, better use of a word, doesn't make it okay. Like, you wouldn't do it of somebody else. You see, like, a cute girl, cute guy, whatever. Would you, you know, take a photo of them?
Or, yeah, never.
Upskirting case. No.
Jesus.
No, but like honestly, I thought it was Fnatic memes, they do some funny stuff.
They've proven.
They're great. They're so good.
But I just thought, nah, not cool. But if you'd asked him, like, hey, can I take a photo with you? You know, it's an SC fan, blah, 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 Ryan Grant. He's like, and I bet Ryan would have gone, yeah, sure, no worries, mate.
Yeah.
Even if, you know what, it might have been okay even if his missus wasn't with him. You know, like just passing by, it kind of just made it a little bit weird. I don't know, like if I'm reading into things.
Nah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's all. It's, yeah.
Next.
Enough is enough. I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane. Everybody strap in. I'm about to open some fucking windows.
That's right, Don Cheadle. Jono.
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. Hey. Yo.
I hope I'm not taking yours, Sean. I was interested that you played mine first. My villain of the week, Uncle Nick Politis and the Sydney fucking Roosters. Who do you think you are? Like, for those that missed it, at opening day, City FC had arranged for a logo saying the home of the Roosters to be covered up. With a tarp, mind you, they probably could have done a slightly better job. Make it look a bit more inconspicuous, but yeah, mate, just stay out of it. You've got absolutely no right to make comment on the situation. Just fuck off, basically.
Jono, that's your Rabbitohs allegiance coming.
No, out. Not at all. Not at all. That's my rugby league hatred coming out.
I'm in a decent position to speak of it, seeing as I'm a Chookie supporter and a Sydney FC supporter.
Yeah, you're a massive dickhead though, too.
I don't necessarily agree with you there. Look, where that thing is, it's not plastered all around the stadium, like all the at each entrance. It's at the entrance where their actual headquarters are, where their offices are. So technically that is the home of the Roosters. I would only say to that, like they did with the, you know, when you got the Waratahs, Sydney FC and Chookies.
Does the CEO or owner of the company have to come out and go to the press and talk about that shit though?
You could have gone about it better, absolutely. But it's actually in the contract that they have that sign there. And they paid more to be able to have that there. So could he have gone about it in a little bit of a classier, sophisticated fashion? Absolutely.
No, because he's Nick Politis.
But I would just say turn the light of it off, like you have when the three football, sporting codes emblems are on the other part of the stadium on the outside, and have the Sydney FC one illuminated, That's what I would say to it. But,
Fuck off, Nick.
Yeah. Anyway, disagree, John.
Up the doggies.
Wins.
All right, my turn. Look, I won't mention his name. I'm going to put it under of substitutions.
Oh, no.
Let's just say his name is S. Karaka. No, that's
Karaka.
Oh, and Steve.
Would have to do to get some bloody game time. Look, was, almost out the door. At least that's what the rumors were. Was there talking him going to Perth? I think it was. But anyway. I think bringing him on in the 89th minute, like I thought it would have been better to bring him on earlier.
I think you're showing your bias towards Paddy Wood there, sure.
Why put him on the bench and give him some time? I'll piggyback on, I think it was something that Slow we were saying online, is that we're going to be, and this is no criticism, fairly reliant on Mac and Lolly as the season goes forward. And rightly so, they're bloody good players. They're marquee players and, pay them the big bucks. If they get injured or go down, God forbid, get suspended, go away on international duty, Mac gets caught up, probably not, but anyway, we're going to need the likes of Wood and Kaczynski there, Sigic as well, so give the boys some game time.
It's early days. I'm giving you a hard time, but I actually agree with you. I just think it's a bit rough putting in as villain for that. Parsons, I thought, did well when he came on, to be fair, but... It wasn't a like for like. You're right, Sean. And yeah, on the back of Woody getting, you know, so what did he get, 20 minutes in round one? Maybe 15?
Right.
On the back of that, it would have been nice to see him get something similar because he was brilliant when he came on in the big blue. So yeah, it is a confusing one. A bit rough putting him as villain of the week though, Sean, I reckon.
Anti-hero?
Anti-hero. Bit of subcategory, like a middle category. The neutral of the week.
Reptile kind of wins.
That's it for us for this week. That's all our heroes and all our villains.
All the heroes, all the villains. Brilliant. So Adelaide United Sunday. Be nice to have a big crowd. I think it is meant to rain for the next few days and on the day, unfortunately. But, you know, the boys need our support. Basically, we want to keep going. We want to keep getting dubs. We've got to keep showing up and keep having great turnouts. Villain of the week was almost the media for me for beating up the Wanderers away support. Like Sydney usually takes triple what were there for that away day to Amy Park. So you know what did they have, like 200 people there? Good luck to them. But if we keep showing up in strong numbers, no doubt the boys will perform, and hopefully it's our first win at the new Allianz Stadium. Jules, thank you so much for your time tonight. Have a wonderful week.
Yes, bring on Sunday.
Sean, as usual, your dedication and time is very precious, and we thank you for your efforts on Sky Blue Stories. I may not be here next week, so you boys might have to steer the ship. Unfortunately, traveling again.
We'll get the other ball back in your place.
Yes, you should. You should. I'm sure you'll get along just fine. But hopefully you're on to talk about a massive win. And apart from that, interact with us, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, if you like, even. We're still on there. And of course, don't forget,
TikTok,
follow us.
TikTok. Please follow us, please, my bro. Please
go check the ticks and definitely check the talks. Yes. And we'll talk to you all once again next time.